Blomqvist entered police headquarters on Kungsholmen through the entrance on Polemsgarten. Figueroa accompanied him up to the offices of the Constitutional Protection Unit. They exchanged only silent glances in the elevator.
"Do you think it's such a good idea for me to be hanging around at police HQ?" Blomqvist said. "Someone might see us together and start to wonder."
"This will be our only meeting here. From now on we'll meet in an office we've rented at Friedensplan. We get access tomorrow, but this will be okay. Constitutional Protection is a small and more or less self-sufficient unit, and nobody else at SIS cares about it. And we're on a different floor from the rest of SEPO."
He greeted Ed Clinth without shaking hands and said hello to two colleagues who were apparently part of his team. They introduced themselves only as Stefan and Anders. He smiled to himself.
"Where do we start?" he said.
"We could start by having some coffee, Monica,"
Ed Clinth said.
"Thanks, that would be nice," Figueroa said.
Ed Clinth had probably meant for her to serve the coffee. Blomqvist noticed that the chief of the Constitutional Protection Unit hesitated for only a second before he got up and brought the coffee over to the conference table, where place settings were already laid out. Blomqvist saw that Ed Clinth was also smiling to himself, which he took to be a good sign. Then Ed Clinth turned serious.
"I honestly don't know how I should be managing this. It must be the first time a journalist has sat in on a meeting of the security police. The issues we'll be discussing now are in many respects confidential and highly classified.
I'm not interested in military secrets. I'm only interested in the Zalichenko Club.
But we have to strike a balance. First of all, the names of today's participants must not be mentioned in your articles."
"Agreed."
Ed Clinth gave Blomqvist a look of surprise.
"Second, you may not speak with anyone but me and Monica Figueroa. We're the ones who will decide what we can tell you."
"If you have a long list of requirements, you should have mentioned them yesterday."
"Yesterday I hadn't yet thought through the matter."
"Then I have something to tell you too. This is probably the first and only time in my professional career that I will reveal the contents of an unpublished story to a police officer. So, to quote you, I honestly don't know how I should be managing this."
A brief silence settled over the table.
"Maybe we... what if we..."
Ed Clinth and Figueroa had started talking at the same time before falling silent.
"My target is the Zalichenko Club," Blomqvist said. "You want to bring charges against the Zalichenko Club. Let's stick to that."
Ed Clinth nodded.
"So, what do you have?" Blomqvist said.
Ed Clinth explained what Figueroa and her team had unearthed. He showed Blomqvist the photograph of Evert Gulberg with Colonel Venestrom.
"Good. I'll take a copy of that."
"It's in Orland and Auckland's archive," Figueroa said.
"It's on the table in front of me with a note on the back," Blomqvist said.
"Give him a copy," Ed Clinth said.
"That means that Zalichenko was murdered by the section.
A murder coupled with a suicide of a man who was dying of cancer. Gulberg's still alive, but the doctors don't give him more than a few weeks. After his suicide attempt, he sustained such severe brain damage that he is, for all intents and purposes, a vegetable.
And he was the person with primary responsibility for Zalichenko when he defected."
"How do you know that?"
"Gulberg met Prime Minister Feldin 6 weeks after Zalichenko's defection."
"Can you prove that?"
"I can. With the visitor's log of the government secretariat. Gulberg arrived together with the then chief of SIS.
And the chief has since died.
But Feldin is alive and willing to talk about the matter.
Have you?"
"No, I haven't. But someone else has. I can't give you the name. Source protection."
Blomqvist explained how Feldin had reacted to the information about Zalichenko and how he had travelled to The Hague to interview Janerud.
"So the Zalichenko Club is somewhere in this building," Blomqvist said, pointing at the photograph.
"Partly. We think it's an organisation inside the organisation. What you call the Zalichenko Club cannot exist without the support of key people in this building. But we think that the so-called Section for Special Analysis set up shop somewhere outside."
"So that's how it works? A person can be employed by SEPO, have his salary paid by SEPO, and then in fact report to another employer?"
"Something like that."
"So who in the building is working for the Zalichenko Club?"
"We don't know yet, but we have several suspects."
"Mortensen," Blomqvist suggested.
Ed Clinth nodded.
"Mortensen works for SEPO, and when he's needed by the Zalichenko Club, he's released from his regular job," Figueroa said.
"How does that work in practice?"
"That's a very good question," Edlinth said with a faint smile. "Wouldn't you like to come and work for us?"
"Not on your life," Blomqvist said.
"I jest, of course, but it's a good question. We have a suspect, but we're unable to verify our suspicions just yet."
"Let's see. It must be someone with administrative authority."
"We suspect Chief of Secretariat Albert Schenker," Figueroa said.
"And here we are at our first stumbling block," Edlinth said. "We've given you a name, but we have no proof. So how do you intend to proceed?"
"I can't publish a name without proof. If Schenker is innocent, he would sue Millennium for libel."
"Good, then we are agreed. This cooperative effort has to be based on mutual trust. Your turn, what do you have?"
"Three names," Blomqvist said. "The first two were members of the Zalachenko Club in the 80s.
Edklinth and Figueroa were instantly alert.
"Hans von Rottinger and Frederick Clinton. Von Rottinger is dead, Clinton is retired. Both of them were part of the circle closest to Zalachenko."
"And the third name?" Edklinth said.
"Teleborian has a link to a person I know only as Jonas. We don't know his last name, but we do know that he was with the Zalachenko Club. We've actually speculated a bit that he might be the man with Mortensen in the pictures from Café Copacabana."
"And in what context did the name Jonas crop up?"
"Salander hacked Teleborian's computer, and we can follow the correspondence that shows how Teleborian is conspiring with Jonas in the same way he conspired with Björk in 1991.
"He gives Teleborian instructions, and now we come to another stumbling block," Blomqvist said to Edklinth with a smile.
"I can prove my assertions, but I can't give you the documentation without revealing a source. You'll have to accept what I'm saying."
Edklinth looked thoughtful.
"Maybe one of Teleborian's colleagues in Uppsala. Okay, let's start with Clinton and von Rottinger. Tell us what you know."